Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
All right, let's do this. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another rendition of Magic Drive Time, wherever you might be on this kind of chilly, autumn-like Tuesday afternoon. Magic falling last night 116-110 at the hands of the Golden State Warriors. But I will tell you what, I will tell you a lot of things. That was a really fun basketball game to watch for about the first 40 minutes of it. And then two guys, it was a two-man game, completely took over, and that was the difference. And that's what we're going to talk about here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Magic led by as many as 18 in last night's basketball game. But the difference in this one, it's really simple. You don't employ Kevin Durant, and you don't employ Klay Thompson. And what those two did last night was magnificent, it was marvelous, and it was poetry in motion. It was like watching the ballet inside the Oracle Arena. The two of those guys combined for 78 points. And I put this out on my Twitter last night. Is, you know, perhaps the most astonishing game I've ever witnessed in person was Kevin Durant's freshman year at the University of Texas. And I tell everybody this story that I come across. When he was a freshman at the University of Texas, he played in Allen Fieldhouse in their final conference game before the Big 12 tournament. That night, he hung 38 points in one half against the University of Kansas. He was injured in the second half, had to come out. But every time since then, I have seen Kevin Durant play basketball, I have walked away thinking that is a bad, bad dude. And he displayed it last night. 49 points. He was 6 of 33 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3. And the second that Aaron Gordon went out of that basketball game, defensively, things shifted for the Magic. They were outpaced by 10 in the game's final frame and just never could keep up. Valiant effort, though, for the Magic to hang with them, but unfortunately a disappointing outcome. So here's what we have coming up on the show today. Dante was supposed to host, but due to some technical difficulties, I have kind of been thrusted into his role today. So we did our best, we did what we could, and we got national NBA writer Shaquo Smith to join the show, so we'll talk to him in a matter of 38 seconds. But just a reminder, the Orlando Magic do have a new pod squad. It is the Orlando Magic Pod Squad podcast on iTunes as well as the Google Play Store. It is a host of characters that not only include Dante Marcatelli, David Steele, George Galante, as well as Jeff Turner, and each week, these four guys will talk basketball. They'll talk Magic basketball. They'll talk Magic history. How do you get it? Well, you go to the Apple iTunes Store or the Google Play Store, you hit subscribe, and you rate it, and you share it with all your friends. All right, it is now my pleasure to welcome in the one and the only. He is a good friend of the program. We've had him on numerous times. It is none other than Shaquo Smith. You can find him on NBA.com, NBA TV, the Hangtime blog, the Hangtime podcast. Pretty sure he does it all. First off, Shaquo, the one thing my producer, Cody Clark, gave me today, and the number one bullet point he asked me to ask you is, even after last night's basketball game, the Magic are 10-6. The main question he has, is this sustainable for the Magic, and should I be buying what they're selling?
You know, that's a very interesting question, and thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, John Schumann and I debated that on my podcast earlier today, whether or not we could look up in a month and the Magic's 10-10 start would hold true. I'll be honest with you, I'm still kind of on the fence. Because so much of what you do these first 20 games is based on health and your schedule and kind of feeling out a season. But the times I've watched them and they've been at their best, they have a sustainable model of what they're doing. They've got three guys to me, and really four if you include Terrence Ross, Aaron Gordon, Vucevic, and Fournier. You got four guys who can play at a high enough level that if they can do it on a consistent basis, they should be a 500 team. They should be in that neighborhood as their young guys continue to grow and get better and develop. So I would say, yeah, I would say that with Steve Clifford at the controls, who I have a ton of respect for as a coach in this league, this should be what their normal is. It should be something north of what they've been the past couple of years. And right now that's 500.
I was going to say, what's crazy to me that is if you look at this team right now, if the NBA playoffs occurred after 20 games, they'd be the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, which is, to me, kind of astonishing to think about. You know, this team for the last few years has gotten off to hot starts, and they've had similar results through their first maybe month and a half of the NBA calendar. And so there is a lot of trepidation. There is a lot of hesitancy with wanting to buy in with what they're selling. But I'll tell you what, the guy that you hit on most that I think has made the biggest difference is there's no doubt about it. Steve Clifford has been a great hire at the head coaching position for this Magic team. And my biggest indicator is not only with their defensive numbers, but also just late in games and some of the differences he has made coming out of halftime and how they've played in that third frame specifically.
Yeah, I mean, he's well-respected around the league and known as a guy who can kind of maximize the talent of whatever he has on his roster. So that's a benefit. That's a plus in the Magic's, you know, ledger. I think the other part about it that gives people some trepidation is that they always want a better point. You know, they want a more stable point guard situation, or they want a better point guard situation, an upgraded point guard. To me, you run into a dangerous thing in this league, always wanting better than what you have on your roster. Because then that means the expectations are always moving. And, you know, the markers are always moving. Well, this guy should be, he should be better than this. Or this guy's profile says he's one player, but he's performing at a higher level right now, so we can't count on him, or we can't take that to the bank. And I think that's a false narrative that's been around the NBA for quite some time. Most of these guys who you see, if you think about all the starting players in the league, very rarely do we have a starter playing out of order. Like you see a guy like TJ McConnell in Philadelphia last year when he was their most effective point guard a lot of times, even with a guy like Ben Simmons on the roster. Well, that's circumstantial. That's a temporary thing. When you have a guy who's been in the league, you know, for 6, 7, 8, 9 years and has shown himself to be a certain level of player, you got to buy that. You know, you got to accept that and understand that he is exactly what his numbers and his profile says he is. And I think if you're Orlando, you got to be careful not to want more from certain guys than what they're capable of, and then not believe in the guys who have shown themselves to be true pros and expect them to not play up to the standard they've played up to. So I like their makeup as just overall. I think a lot of times in this league, people assume it's about talent instead of fit, where I think it's much more often a matter of if the fit is right, you can get better results than you can if it's just raw talent and you're hoping that it all fits some kind of way.
Oh, absolutely. And the guy that I think you're alluding to is DJ Augustine. And I thought Steve Clifford had some fantastic comments on him maybe 2 games ago where he goes, you know, the amazing thing about DJ Augustine is he's more of a pick and roll point guard. There's no doubt about it. But they're not asking him really to do the pick and roll. He's been a consummate professional since he's taken over that starting point guard role from Elfrid Payton. And it shows in kind of the steady hand that he has led this team with, not only this season, but to close out last year's campaign as well.
Yeah, I mean, and I can't believe I said all that and didn't mention his name, but that's obviously who I was talking about. I think he reminds me a lot of the last steady, undersized point guard that the Magic had who was there when they had a bunch of success, Jameer Nelson. And I think they're different players. Jameer is physically was probably a much sturdier guy. But DJ Augustin, to me, everywhere he's been, he's one of those classic cases of people want him to be taller, more physical, a better shooter than he, they're always wanting more from him than whatever it's taken for him to stay in the league as long as he has playing the way he does. I mean, I think he's the ideal fit at that position for a guy like Steve Clifford as well, because he's going to go out and run exactly what Steve Clifford's asking him to, as opposed to going out there and trying to freelance and show you that he's, this dazzling player. And not that that's a bad thing, but when you're trying to win the way that the Magic are trying to win, you need somebody that can come out there and set the table the way the coach wants to, run your sets and get other guys in the comfortable positions to be their most effective, best in those situations. And I think he's done that fantastically so far. I hope he stays healthy and continues to play like that.
I was going to say, it's almost hard to believe that when you mention that he's been in the league as long as he has, that this is his 10th year in the association. I mean, it seems like time has flown by since he was just a Longhorn at Texas. But I think one of the things that you're really mentioning is, how much more comfortable he looks running this offense and how much more comfortable everyone else in it looks. And the biggest beneficiary that I think is Nick Vucevic. And I don't want to get ahead of the curve and say that the level that Nick Vucevic is playing at is an all-star level, but this is definitely, in my 5 years with the Magic, the longest stretch of games that I have seen him put together where he has looked like an all-star. Is that fair to say?
It is, and I think one of the really good things about his situation is we all know that, you know, you see the young talent coming through the door, and your first notion is to say, wow, you know, they got Mo Bamba, they got Isaac, they got these long, lean, modern-day bigs, you know, guys who are going to be able to play when you have a small ball lineup on the floor, you know, and are versatile and can do all these different things. You look at Vucevic and say, well, he's more of a traditional center, even though we both know that he steps out and faces the basket and shoots from distance a lot more than people realize. You think he's not a fit when he really is, because if you've studied Steve Clifford's teams and you can go back and look at everywhere he's been, I mean, the big men that operate in his system tend to be very effective because he's got a big man friendly offense that relies on your big man, and I'm talking about your center, you know, to really be a focal point of what you do. So credit to Vucevic for playing as well as he has. And like anybody else, it's about the situation. You know, are you in the right spot at the right time, surrounded by guys who will accentuate what you do best, or are you in a situation that's less than that? And I think right now he's just in a great situation with a coach who totally understands how to use him and make sure he's at his effective best on a nightly basis.
I was going to say, you know, the local media here in Orlando asked Steve Clifford the other day, what is the difference about the way that he is using Nick Vucevic? You know, Steve Clifford is not a very assuming guy at all. He doesn't like to take a lot of the credit that I think that he well deserves. But in your mind's eye, what is the difference in the way that they're utilizing Vucevic this year as opposed to maybe in past years?
I think the smartest thing they're doing is they're not asking him to play outside of his wheelhouse. They're playing specifically to his strengths. And then he's got some – think about this now. He's got Aaron Gordon and he's got, you know, Ross and some other guys who are very capable at their own positions, capable of playing on both ends of the floor. So you're not leaning on him the way you might have in years past when you were developing players or trying to bring young guys along and asking him to be, you know, to make up for the deficiencies of other guys. I think that alone allows Vucevic to be much more effective. And Steve Clifford understands that. He's a guy who's been around the league long enough, has worked with, you know, a variety of players. I think wise coaches in this league truly understand the limitations and the strengths of the guys they coach, and then limit the opportunities and the times when they have to put them in uncomfortable positions, because that in turn makes everything else go all right. That sends your entire system out of whack when you got a guy who has to try and do something more than what he's capable of.
Well, I'll tell you what, Seiko, for a long time we have known how good Nick Vucevic here is in the City Beautiful, and it's been a lot of fun to watch him play at an all-star worthy level. We hope it keeps up. But hey, Seiko, hold on 1 second. We do have to duck in a quick break. When we return, we'll talk Aaron Gordon. We'll talk everything else that is going on with this Magic team, including Terrence Ross, another big-time night for the Magic swingman last night. All that and more coming up here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center.
Our Magic never compromise on the court, and Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Need to sell your home? With Listed.com, pay 0% listing commission and still get a team of expert realtors, MLS listing, and professional photos. Pay 0% listing commission and still get our revolutionary yard sign, a dedicated direct mail campaign, and powerful print marketing. Pay 0% listing commission and still get a dedicated property website. Pay 0% listing commission, but only if you're one of the first 1,000 people to list with Listed.com by December 31st. That's LISTED.com. 888-777-9611.
Does not include buyer's agent commission. See website for terms and conditions. Listed.com. Me.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
Right now, talking with Sekou Smith of NBA.com, NBA TV, the Hangtime blog, the Hangtime podcast. He kind of does it all. And, you know, one of the guys that you mentioned and that I think has made a big difference and at least taken that next step in his progression as an NBA player is Aaron Gordon. Number one, not only does he not seem to be forcing as many things as what we saw last year, but I also feel like he has more of a general understanding of how to put other guys in position to succeed. Am I reading too much into that, or is that just something that is maybe just that he's understanding the older he gets in this league?
No, that's right. I mean, and it's a part of the process of just becoming comfortable in your role in this league. I will tell you this. I was frustrated with the Magic just from afar in this entire process they've been going through since Dwight Howard, you know, left town.
I think it's safe to say that we've all been frustrated. You know, it's not just you.
I mean, it just felt like they were always starting and, restarting their process. Like,
absolutely.
They have one set of young players in, give up on them too quickly, and then start over or try and focus and, shift it to a different direction. Really, Aaron Gordon's one of the few young guys that they've brought in and survived all of that process. So, you know, you have to assume that he would mature, his game would get better. But I think the big step for him, more than anything I noticed late last year, was that he started getting really comfortable playing all over the court. It wasn't a deal where you had him pigeonholed. Well, was he a small forward or is he a power forward? And, you know, people wringing their hands over what his position was. Who cares? You know, you need him to develop his entire game to be comfortable playing in the paint as well as on the perimeter, and certainly taking advantage of what he can do on the run, which he's one of the more gifted transition, bigs in the league. He reminds me a lot of what Blake Griffin was three or four years ago when Blake really started to turn a corner and his game started to round out. And that's always been a comparison I've heard, about he and Blake Griffin having similar games early in their careers. Blake's game has rounded out beautifully. If you watch him now, he's so good off the dribble. He's a facilitator for other people, and he can still, give you the exciting, above-the-rim stuff that he's always given you. And I think Aaron Gordon is much in that same mold in that you see his game get more and more comfortable off the dribble as he sharpens his handle and really gets an understanding for how to play, off of somebody else, if it's a pick-and-roll situation or if it's just a two-man game where he's trying to post and repost, or he's the guy throwing the entry pass and then playing off of him. There's a lot of that nuance to the game that only comes with time and the time you spend perfecting that craft. And I just think he's gone above and beyond to do that the last couple of years, and it's paying dividends for him.
Well, and Seiko, kind of the crazy thing, and this is one of the comments that stuck out to me earlier this year, is, a member of the local media here in Orlando asked him about just simply boxing out and what that was like to be able to get an offensive rebound or a defensive rebound. And he goes, my first 4 years in the league, I never boxed out. I never even thought about boxing out because I never had to at any level.
I mean,
the learning curve for him has been greater than what I think anybody anticipated, because early on in his career, he could just out-athletic everybody, and he couldn't at this level.
Well, look, when you've been as big a star as he was in high school, in Northern California, and then in college, it's not like you spend 4 years in school honing the craft and sharpening all of those tools and smoothing out all the rough edges of your game. That's not the NBA anymore, where guys kind of work through all of those things before they get to the league. So, yeah, his education in the NBA has been on the fly. I remember when he wasn't playing a whole lot early in his career, and I thought to myself, man, how are you ever going to know how good this guy is and what he can give you if he's not getting consistent minutes? And until you play, I mean, as much as you can learn in this league by watching and examining how other guys play, there is no imitation for actually being out there in the mix and being a part, an integral part, being a very specific part of what your team is doing. And he's continued to build his body of work in terms of what he does on the court, how he attacks the training and the skill development that everybody has to do now in this league in the offseason. It's not just about maintaining. You got to come back with new wrinkles and come back year after year, a better, different, more impactful player. You know, because if you're not getting better in this league, somebody else is, and they're passing you up. So I think he's done a really nice job of just attacking the work involved. And, yeah, he's right. Going from a guy who probably never had to box out in his life because he could always jump over whoever else was on the court to now where you have to be much more of a tactician to be effective, you know, at this stage of his career.
I was going to say, when I was working in baseball, the old adage was that when you got to the big leagues, it took you at least 2,000 at-bats before you knew what kind of offensive player you are. I think anymore in the NBA, when you enter the league, it probably takes your first full rookie-scale contract until you at least have some kind of an idea of what you might be in the league. And, you know, Sekou, one of the guys that I think we're really finding out a lot about is Terrence Ross. This was a guy that spent a lot of last year on the injury list. We're seeing what he can do when he is a more consistent basketball player. And that was always the knock on him, right? He'd have one big game and then would kind of fall off for two or three games. Is this potentially the Terrence Ross that, you know, the rest of the season and going forward that the Magic can maybe expect to see?
I'm sure they hope so. And I'm sure that Terrence Ross is hoping that he can continue to play at this level. And that, again, it's just about consistency. I always chuckle when people talk about players and talent. There's not a guy in the NBA who doesn't have the talent to be there. He wouldn't be in the league if he didn't have the raw talent to be there. But it's so difficult to perform at a consistently high level in this league. I don't think people that aren't around the game all the time understand just how difficult it is. Even for a guy with a ton of physical talent, you're dealing with an entire league, you know, 400 however many of the best players on the planet Earth. I mean, you're never going out there where there's not another guy across from you who can do many of the same things you can do and might be able to do five or six things you can't. So there becomes this line that guys have to kind of try and play to on a consistent basis. And that's the difference. That's what separates the good players from the great ones, is that you know, if you can't do it on a consistent basis, it shows. Like, your body of work and your consistency in this league shows itself. It's never hidden. It's always going to be on display if you're playing, you know, significant minutes. We're going to know if you're the Terrence Ross who can do it on a nightly basis and can get out there and produce at a high level all the time, or if you're not, because the results are laid bare for us day after day in your performance. I mean, you always hear coaches talk about the tape doesn't lie. Go back and watch games. And I do that, I'm sure, like you do. I have to go back and watch games sometimes over and over and in parts of games to understand why some guy has gone from being an inconsistent player to being more consistent. And usually it's about health, you know, honing the craft and really understanding and comprehending what it is you're trying to do or being asked to do in a specific system. It's really not that difficult to identify the things that make a guy effective. It's just a matter of, does he grasp that and execute it sooner rather than later?
Oh, I remember when I first started working in the league, I'd have to watch a game three or four times because the pace of an NBA basketball game is just so fast and so furious that it just takes it's almost too much to consume at one time. And so you do have to go back and rewatch guys. And you know, Terrence Ross in his last 10 games, almost 15 points, over 51% from the field. That's impressive for him. And, you know, I'll get you out on this one because I know that it's something that a lot of people here in Orlando are watching, and it's something that a lot of people here in Orlando are intrigued about. But the development of the first two draft picks by Jeff Weltman and John Hammond, Jonathan Isaac as well as Mo Bamba, just kind of your take on what you've seen from them. And then I'd be interested to get your take on this rookie class in general, because this looks like it's setting up to be a fantastic rookie class for the NBA for years to come.
Yeah, well, the first thing I noticed about Isaac coming back this year was just how different he looked physically, obviously. He looked much stronger, you know, much more in control of his body. You know, when you're a guy that's that size with that length and you first get in the league and you weigh, you know, 199 pounds dripping wet or whatever it is, and that goes for him and Mo Bamba both, just getting some stability on the court is a difficult thing because you get knocked off your marks time and again by somebody who's maybe older and more mature than you are physically. So you can tell, I mean, I kind of gauge those young guys based on, are they able to hold themselves up to a certain physical standard at their position? Can they go out there and battle, you know, if they're playing around the basket? Can you go out there and physically battle with the competition? Is that something that overwhelmed you or not? And I think neither of those guys has looked overwhelmed to me this year, which has been a pretty good thing, I would say, for the Magic and a good sign for their continued growth and development. I wasn't sure what position Jonathan Isaac would fit in best on this roster with, you know, when you have Vucevic and Gordon and all these guys already in place. So that's something I think that he's still working out, is just figuring out his niche on this team. I think Bamba is a much more specific talent in terms of he's a rim protector and rim runner extraordinaire when he grows and physically is ready to play at a high level. So I think his ceiling potentially to me is even higher than Isaac's, but both of them, I think, are on the road to being very solid players, you know, for what the Magic need, you know, down the road and into the future. And yeah, you're right. This rookie class has some potential stars in it. I mean, I think Luka Doncic is a potential star. I think Marvin Bagley III is a potential superstar. When you look at his frame, his skill set, and the fact that he should still be in high school if he wouldn't have reclassified and come out early. And there are a multitude of guys. You don't even talk about the number one pick, DeAndre Ayton, who's had some flashes, but certainly has a chance to be a big-time player. Trae Young, I think, has shown you some skills. You know, they're all dealing with the same things you'd expect 20 games into their NBA careers. There's been some inconsistency. Guys aren't, you know, performing at a high level every night. But Colin Sexton, even in Cleveland, has shown us some flashes here recently with a couple of 20-plus point games and some big wins for Cleveland. So, I mean, you're right. You can't gauge a rookie class, you know, off of 20 games or even off the first couple of years. But I think in 4 or 5 years, this is very well could be a group that we look back on and say, man, that was a draft that was loaded with impact players and guys with big-time potential. It's just a matter of do they work and stay on it and grind away and become the players that their profile said they should.
I was going to say, I was watching that Mavs and Spurs game about, I want to say it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was just amazed at how comfortable the Mavs are already just almost putting the ball in Doncic's hands in the fourth quarter. You know, there were 5 minutes left in that basketball game, and every action they were running for was for Luka Doncic, and it was amazing to see because that Mavs team has never operated like that. But, hey, Sekou, thank you so much for taking the time. This ran a little bit longer, but it was great stuff, and I really appreciate you coming on the show with us.
Sure, man. I appreciate it. Always love to talk hoops now.
All right, that is Sekou Smith of not only NBA.com, NBA TV, the Hangtime blog. He does everything, but also make sure you check him out. Rate, subscribe his podcast. He would appreciate it also. Well, that'll do it for us here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Magic are off tonight. They are back in action tomorrow as they travel up to our country's great Northwest, and they take on big game Dame Lillard and those Portland Trailblazers. Dante is back in his seat tomorrow. All right, we'll see you later, knuckleheads.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.